two. We are up. I'm not going to be. I haven't prepared to speak at the end this year. So you've got your musar. I know it's your musar. You got halacha lemaisa before. Can you notice though? It's not on the tape. So whoever's listening to this is wondering, what did they talk about before shir? But we're not going to say. Okay, that's the price for not showing up. So the Gemara had said akirat sar hanacha. You know, one of the very interesting things that happens here in this Tosfos is Tosfos is faced with a problem, and Tosfos is faced with a sugya. The sugya that Tosfos is faced with is a little bit. Tosfos is, I think, correct. It's almost indisputable, but it's fascinating that Tosfos seems to be one of the only two Rishonim that I've seen so far who actually noticed the sugya. Unless I missed stuff in our sugya here and I missed in the other Rishonim, Tosfos here is the only one I noticed commenting. Again, maybe I glossed over it because I was. But and there's a Rashba in Gittin who deals with it as well in a very different way. But they deal with a sugya in Gittin, what should be a well-famous sugya for other reasons, of Hezek Shein Nikar. And that sugya doesn't at all mention, it mentions Kam Levi D'Rabbi Meir, but it doesn't mention at all anything about Hagbah Tzorach Hanacha, Hagbah Tzorach Nisuch. None of the terms that are being used here are actually mentioned there. But Tosfos, very cleverly, very astutely, very cleverly, ties the two sugyas together, or recognizes the necessity of resolving the two sugyas, and comes up with a couple of different interpretations. I'm going to focus right now, hopefully we'll finish Tosfos today, I'm going to focus on our Tosfos, but before that, in a sense, the first teretz of Tosfos in Gittin. I want to present that to you, the first two terutzim. There's a third teretz of Tosfos in Gittin, which is astoundingly fascinating. Zach and Mati, you will find it fascinating because our discussion yesterday about someone who steals a chavis and it appreciates in value and then you smash it. I haven't fully understood exactly what Tosfos is doing. I mean, I have a framework for it. And so that will be, I think, perhaps the beginning of next week on the way to finishing the sugya. I think, by the way, that we'll probably finish sometime in the middle or latest by the end of next week what we're doing, and then we're going to have Chazara whenever we finish, we start Chazara, let's put it that way. So we might deal. We'll have to deal with that third approach of Tosfos and Gittin, but for now, I want to stick to what is sort of more mainstream. And so we'll read this Tosfos here, but you need to understand the background of the Gemara Gittin. So first, the problem. It always, from my vantage point, everything is driven by data. Okay, number one, two data points in our sugya. Number one, gonev chelbo shel chavera v'achalo is chayev. Why? Because he kuskone b'hagbah, and he's not chayev in the parchelev until he eats it. Fine, so we have chayev first. And now the question is, the third point is Rabbi Abin shita zarachetz mitilas arba v'atzofar arba v'kara shiran. Rabbi Abin says you say kol meibed rabbi minei. The question is, how is that different from gonev chelbo shel chaver v'achalo? And the answer is there are two possibilities, two ways of explaining Rabbi Abin. One is that akira is tzorach hanacha, that in order to violate the malacha of ma'avir dal ramos, you need both an akira and hanacha. So the malacha begins when you do an akira, it ends when you do an hanacha. But when you eat chaylev, the malacha doesn't begin when you pick the object up. The malacha begins when you put it in your mouth, maybe, or when you swallow. Whichever it is, we don't have to get to that. That's how you relate to the previous sugya. The second teretz is that no, Rabbi Abin doesn't believe that just because the malacha began, okay, and it doesn't matter whether you take Shua's approach or mine for now. I'm just going to take mine just for simplicity's sake. If at some point you think that it makes a difference, you raise it. But for the moment, just accept that my premise. That for the kamei be the rabbinate purposes, the malacha only begins. It's not enough that the malacha began is required in a technical sense that you need an akir fanacha. It has to be the only time that simultaneity begins for kamei be the rabbinate, that we look at an extended period of time as one moment, is when it's no longer in my control, namely when I threw it. But if I were to be walking with the knife, so after I tear the shiran, I could stop and not be mechal Shabbos because I haven't gone dal amos yet, and therefore we don't say that the Chilul Shabbos for Kamei Rabbanei purposes begins when I start walking and ends when I stop walking, but rather it begins at the very last moment, right before I cross the Dalet Amos barrier, and the Kriya Shiran took place before, therefore they're not simultaneous. Two ways of explaining Rabbi Abin. Okay.
So,
what?
Is very much the way you read that.
Is he explicit?
Yeah.
on that point. Your point was just that the malacha might not have began yet.
I assume that the two lashonas are separate. You assume the two lashonas, one was building on top of the other, right?
So I don't assume one is building on top of the other. I just assume one. Oh! I see what you're saying. If you hold one, you certainly hold the other, is what you're saying. In other words, one is a more extreme version of the other.
I'd place them as opposite ends, and they can hold different ideas.
Correct. And Tosis assumes that if you hold the one, you certainly hold the other.
And Tosis and Giddens seems to say that a way of understanding Rav Yirmiyah is that he holds. I can understand that I need both Akira and Anacha. But it's still an issue of the Yashar. You could understand it.
I don't think it's Mochar my sheet. I think you can still read your sheet that way. Because Tosus is not... You and I are arguing on a technical question. In other words, does it matter that the Malacha actually began? So I think Tosus could probably still work for you. Okay. This was a wonderful example of Modal Emes. He was thought I was correct. And I thought that he could still be correct. Okay. What?
He
thought there was a riot to me, and I thought the riot to me is not. You find this, by the way, in the...
You don't think he's correct.
He thinks he's correct, and I think I'm correct, but he was willing to admit that maybe there's a source that points the other way. You should know that when you see in the Gemara, Tirgama Rava Aliba Dabaye, it means it was a Kasha against Dabaye Shita. You have this in Kol Kalim as an example of this. Well, they asked the Kasha against Dabaye, and Rava said, Rava disagrees with Dabaye, but he said, you could explain the Braisa this way for Abaye, right? It's your job not only to support your own Svara, but when there's a way to see the other person, to defend the person, you're obligated. It's not just about winning. I'd say the Kol HaKelim. Yeah. Kof Chaf, I think Kof Chaf. Gimel, Kof Dalam, and Aleph, I think. Okay. So anyway, so now, what's the problem? So the problem really starts as follows. The problem starts not with the Sugya and Gittin. The Sugya and Gittin, you can explain in multiple ways, but it doesn't present a pressing problem. Not in an obvious sense. The problem is the Gemara and Baba Kama. Did we read it yesterday? Let's read it now. I'm going to read today. Kasha, the Amrinan b'meruba, gabe gonav u'machar b'shabbos the potter. There's a braisa against the Mishnah that says if you steal and sell it on Shabbos, you potter. The question is why? How's it come with Rabbi Nei? There's no issur d'oraisa of mechira on Yom Tov on Shabbos. So the Gemara says kigon to Amar li zrok gnevu sich lachatzeri v'tikni lechatzeri gnevu sich. The suggestion was that the way you sell it to me is by throwing it to my chatzer. So the chilul Shabbos of hachnasa, of hotzah, it doesn't matter which way you go, we can call it hotzah, and the kinyan on the geneva that I make with my chatzer come at the same time. That was the Gemara initially suggested. So that's how the mechira and the chilul Shabbos, that's how the, number one, the mechira constitutes a chilul Shabbos, and number two, that's how it's simultaneous. Yes.
Why couldn't the Gemara have also presented that case as essentially Ben Azai and Zorei case, meaning one guy picks it up there by stealing it and then throws it?
Because we don't all like Ben Azai.
Do we assume the second guy who's Konehid in this scenario is also Chayav and Geneva?
He's Chayav on Hashabbos HaGeneva. In other words, if I buy from a ganav, I don't pay kefil. I'm not a ganav. I'm misayeh de vevera. I'm like a cholekim ganav. I'm a fence.
Presented this way and not like Ben Azai Zorek case.
Ben Azai Zorek?
Sort of on the next page. Remember on the next page we think about it.
No. This is just a metzias issue. The bottom line is Ben Azai says that Mahalik Omei Dami. That has nothing to do with this. The problem is that if I give it to you to carry, as soon as you pick it up, you're Kona. So it's before the Chilul Shabbos takes place.
I understand, but then he says of all Zoe Potter, that case on the next page, on the next Amud.
Sorry.
That was the case for
you. You would have been Potter because of Kam Lebi the Rabbi. Yeah. Okay.
So why can't you say the same thing?
That's exactly the point. It's exactly the point. If you're Zorek and it happens Vasachas, it's Kamei the Rabba Minei. And we're saying Kamei the Rabba Minei.
If you were assuming it's a case where you're Kona'id and the Avir of the other thing, if you had done it the way it was presented on the next page, you're Kona'id with Agbah.
So that's what I'm telling you, that the Kona'id wasn't the one who threw it here. It was the other guy who threw it. It was the seller who threw it. We want the seller to be Michal Shabbos, remember. But he's not being Kona the object. He's Chayim because he does a Mechira. He's a chayiv because someone else is kona from him. That's called the mecher. He's not chayiv on the kinyan. He's already chayiv on the geneva for the kinyan. We're talking maybe chayiv dal vehei. The ganav who stole it already, in order for him to be chayiv dal vehei, has to do a mechira. So we want to pater him. The Mishnah, the Braisa says ganav u'machar b'shabbos is pater on the mechira, on the extra two or three, not on the.
Okay, then that's the.
Now you see it. Okay. Fine. So uparich, then the Gemara asks a question. Michimati la avir chatzera kana. When the object, the ganav throws the object, as soon as it enters the airspace of the chatzer, it's within the airspace of the mechitzos, the kinyan chatzer takes place. As long as it's sofo lanuach, as long as you can assume it's going to land in the end. In other words, if there's a fire, if you throw it into the chatzer where there's a fire, you're not kona. The bala chatzer is not kona when it enters the chatzer's airspace because it's sofo to land in the fire and get turned into toast. And therefore, it's not kona at all. You assume it's going to get incinerated instantly. It's a piece of paper. But if as long as it's sofo lanuach and be intact, so then your kona is as soon as it enters the airspace of the chatzer. What? Yes. Okay, it's sofa lanuach. We said it's an animal. Right. Depends how hot the fire is. Did you weren't in Shir last year, we have a device that could probably incinerate a sheep pretty fast. It's the Fresnel lens cooker. You had a big enough Fresnel lens, you know, and concentrate it on the bottom of a pot and have the sheep fly into the pot, and that sheep's going to be roast sheep really quickly and incinerate pretty quickly. Look on YouTube, okay? So anyway, and Rav Shechter said it's mutter to cook with that on Shabbos
not
if you're cooking directly. No, not to kill the animal.
What?
If you, that's called bishul b'chama. It just concentrates the sun's rays directly through a lens onto a point, and it will. You ever see what's that?
Can every Jewish home should have?
The only shy is you could become dark or bakach, then be like the microwave shayla, but it's bishul b'chama mamish. You ever never seen kids try to burn leaves a little bit? Not that it doesn't make a big fire by taking a magnifying glass. Well, this Fresnel lens comes out of the old CRT televisions. It's like this lens on the front of the television, and you can melt pennies with it. You know, you boil water in like 2 seconds. I am afraid to leave one of those around. I'm afraid what my teenage son will do with that.
No, we don't want the 700
Okay, so anyway.
Make sure that it doesn't heat the pot.
Correct. You have to be careful. It has to heat the food directly. If it heats the pot, then that's told us a chama.
Pomegranate wood.
What's that?
Pomegranate wood.
It doesn't
get hit hot right now.
I think that the pomegranate wood will get incinerated quickly. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is, Benny, sorry about that. Sorry, but you throw the sheep into the chatzer. As soon as the sheep enters the chatzer's airspace, your kona, when does the chilul Shabbos take place?
When it hits the ground.
That was the Gemara's kasha. So what was the Gemara's teretz? I don't care. I mean, I do care. But it doesn't matter for Tosfos. The Gemara says that when the guy said, I don't want my chatzer to be kona for me until it lands on the ground. Okay. Two Litvish guys here. He said, listen, you're doing me a favor. You're selling me your stolen goods. I'm happy to be your fence. And I don't want you to be mischayev in the extra 2 or 3 in payments. So I'll do you a favor. I'll say, let my chatzer not be kona until it lands. And this way you'll be patar and kamei b'ravni ground. So look, you're going to be mechal Shabbos. Anyway, they're going to put you to death. But at least you won't have to pay, you know, dalveh. What's that? And if, even better, if they're no Eden Asra, so you'll be patar on the base of Gimel. Right? So thieves want to protect one another, right? If you, when you buy from a thief, you may not be halachically violating Geneva in all cases, but it's an avera gedola because you're enabling the thief to steal. Okay. So anyway, Satosu says, Umay parech, what's the kasha? Ha'akira tzarecha nochahi, kedamar hacha. In other words, this is, by the way, Mamish Rabbi Abin's case. This is not even the Akira. Tosu says Akira tzarecha nochah. Right, but this is more than that. This is ibai lo matzilim hader. Right, in other words, it's the what? It's mamish zorei chetz. It's literally, I mean, it's zorei keves. But the point is that it's the same thing as zorei chetz. Right, in other words, the chilul Shabbos begins when you throw it. The chilul Shabbos ends when it lands. In between comes the nezek. So Tosfos says, who cares? What you see from Rabbi Abin that's all called simultaneous. So why does the Gemara bother? Why did the Gemara ask the kasha? When it reaches the Avir Mechitzos Yerkona and it's not coming to the Rav Amine because the Mecher took place before the Chilul Shabbos, and the Gemara will eventually give the answer that it's not that he's not Kona, he chooses not to be Kona until lands on the ground. Who cares? Even if he's Kona in midair. Even if it's Kona in midair, Akira Tzarecha Nochah, and I would go a step further, and Iboi Lamatzin Lahader. That's the problem with the Gemara. So now, you have to step back to Gittin for a moment. If you read Gittin up until the last part of the Tosfos, things become a little bit clearer. So let's talk about Gittin for a moment. I assume that some of you looked at it. If you don't look at it, I have no rachmanis on you because you should have looked at it. So I mentioned this Gemara already, but I'm going to mention it again. The Gemara in Gittin Daf, the Mishnah in Gittin Daf, in Beis Amid Beis, says the following: if you're mitame medamea menasech b'mezid, you're chayev. If I defile someone's food, which reduces it in value in a Jewish context, or I mix truma into chulin, and I damage the food, because once something is meduma, if you don't have enough chulin to be mevatel, what do you have to do? Sell it all to a kohen, and once you have a limited number of buyers, then the value declines. Truma is worth less than chulin, because it's more limited in what can be used for. And menasech, if I take your wine, and I libate it to avodah zarah, I am chayev if I do it b'mezid pater, if I do it b'shogeg. Why would I be pater? Well, what's the question? The question is that I didn't do any discernible damage. It's called a hezek shen nikar. The question is, normally by nezek, there's no difference between mezid and shogeg, so why is there a distinction here? So the Gemara has a machlokas. It's not my concern right now. Some say that really, medina, you should always be chayev, but they pater you by shogeg. Some say, medina, you should always be pater, but they will chayev you by mezid, so you won't go damaging people's stuff, because right? You're a clever yeshiva bacher, right? Like the guy who got thrown out of the yeshiva, so before he left, he went to all the Gemaras in the Beis Medrash, and he wrote letters on the side so that people wouldn't be able to use them on Shabbos. Kachaya. Okay, so I think the Psak Halacha was that it was mutter. So the Psak Halacha ultimately, I think they permitted, but this was a Chacham, right? He was going to asser things, right? You know, you have to be, you've got to have a certain level of knowledge to be really a good, you know, a clever kind of, you know, a Chacham. He's a real Chacham. Say, this guy figures, look, I'll steal your stuff before Pesach, I'll steal your chametz before Pesach, and then comes after Pesach, I say, oh, by the way, here's your chametz. Right, which is now worth nothing because it's Chametz Shalav HaPesach. So I figure I'll be Medameya your Truma, your Chulim with Truma, I'll be Metame your stuff, I'll take my little mouse walking around, touching into everything in your refrigerator. So that's all very nice and fine, except for sometimes, you know, the criminals, as usually are the case, are stupid. Right? Really smart criminals actually don't use their minds for crime. They actually are smart enough to make a living using their intelligence. However, most criminals are stupid. There are rare exceptions, but they usually get caught by their stupidity. So this guy went a little overboard, and he decided to mess up your wine. I'm going to libate to Avodah Zarah. Oops, one little problem. You're an Ovid Avodah Zarah now, you're Chai Misa. Okay, so that raises a different problem, which is Kamei B'Derami Minei. Even as Tosfos points out at the beginning of the Tosfos in the bottom of Daf and Beis and Beis, if you put aside the question of Hezek Shein Onikar, I mean, if you treat Hezek Shein Onikar as if Hezek Anikar, you can do that midrabbana, and that makes sense. But it makes no sense to take a Hezek Shein Onikar in a case of Kamlei b'derabamine and say you have to pay because of Gzeira midrabbanan, because even for Mamish Nezek outright, where you don't even need Gzeira midrabbanan to be mechayev you, you're potter because of Kamlei b'derabamine. So even if you, in other words, it makes no sense for there to be a Knas midrabbanan on someone who's Menasek wine level Dezara that belongs to his friend, that they're going to make a Knas. Even though Hezek Shein Onikar Lav Shmei Hezek, they make a knas against them so that people won't go around being menasech, you know, the wine of their friends. It makes no sense, because even if you held menasech that Hezek Shein Onikar were mamish nezek, you would say kamei d'rabamine. It's not going to be any worse just because.
But if you say it's a knas, then you have to pay.
I know, but the point is they would not have made a knas. Well, the knas was to treat Hezek Shein Onikar like Hezek Anikar. But if this were Hezek Anikar mamish, you'd have been pata because of Kamlei Rabbinei. So it's not going to be any worse because it's now a Hezek Shein Onikar. And they're making Gzeira Midrabbanan to treat Hezek Shein Onikar like a Hezek Anikar. That's what Tosas says at the beginning of that Tosas. But then Tosas, so the Gemara has a machlokas about the Mishnah. What does it mean to be Menasech? And the obvious, the issue that's driving the machlokas Rav and Shmuel is Kamlei Rabbinei. Right? How are you chayev on being Menasech, your friend's wine, if after all, you're chayev Misa for being Menasech, and you should be, and that should be grounds to exempt you from the payment? So firstly, as a matter of fact, there is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What is menasech in the Mishnah mean? Shmuel says that menasech means ma'arev yayin shel chaver b'yayin nesach. If I take your kosher wine and I mix it in with non-kosher wine, I'm not violating avodah zarah, but I'm mixing iser v'heter to get. I'm mixing your heter, into iser, and thereby you are losing value.
Is there an iser of that stam? Obviously, if it was your yayin.
There's no iser except for baltashlis. Okay. Now, however, the problem with Shmuel, of course, is then why is Menasech any different than Medamea? It's the same thing. You're mixing kosher and treif together. I mean, it's a little difference. By Medamea, there's value to it still because a Kohen can eat it. Whereas this, you can't sell it to anyone. It's worth zero because...
Okay,
What's that? Maybe. Maybe. But let's assume you sell to a guy, it's going to decline in value because you've limited your market of buyers. Okay? And probably the Jewish kosher wine of the equivalent quality to the guyish kosher wine is probably more expensive. It has to be more expensive because everything kosher is more expensive. You know, there's no particular good reason for it. So here there is something of a reason for it. So that's the problem with Shmuel. But that's what Shmuel says. Why does Shmuel say that Menasech is Ma'ariv? Because he wants to avoid the problem of Kamleib the Rav Amine. Rav says Menasech Mamish. Why does Rav say Menasech Mamish? Because the Mishnah says Menasech Mamish. And to explain like Shmuel, you have to explain why do you have Ma'ariv Yain Nesach and Midameh. That doesn't make sense. Problem for Rav is, why don't you say Kamleib the Rav Amine? So the Gemara asks the Kashan Rav, and the Gemara says that he holds like Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah says that Mishas Agbahu Dekana Mishaya Benasho Lohave Adshas Nisuch. Okay. Fine. So here's the question. Why didn't Shmuel say like Rav? I mean, Shmuel didn't say like Rav, Kipshuto Shel Mishnah, because but isn't the explanation for Rav obvious? Normally, when you menasech something, you pick it up and you pour it out. When you pick it up, you kone. So why didn't Shmuel say, and then when you pour it out, you chayev misa? So why did Shmuel not agree with Rav? Yes.
Just a general question: that if I pick something of yours up without the intention of being kone, am I still
okay? So one of the approaches. Was this in Tosfos? No. Yes, maybe it's in one of the Rishonim, maybe it's in the Rashba. I think it's the Rashba. If you picked it up without the intent of making a kinyan, then you're not kona. Correct. But, you don't have to assume that that's the case in the Mishnah. In other words, the simple case in the Mishnah, someone's menaseh, has a normal way of doing this, you pick it up and you pour it out. So the simple explanation could be, as Rav says, that when you picked it up, you were kona. You're not mischai b'nashul till you pour it out, and that's a simple case of kamei drab. No kamei drab.
Well, you said that the whole point, like if I really wanted to mess you over, then there would be no knocking then between pouring out for avodah zarah and just taking your bottle of wine and pouring it out on the ground. That you're losing your wine either way. I assume the point was that your wine, like the same way that you'll still be able to see your fruit, but you'll know.
Of course. The reason why that you're potter on a shogeg, even though you're chayef amesed, whatever the case is because it's hezek shen and ikar, and they weren't, and
you pour it back into the bottle or something or whatever.
Right, and it has to be right. Menasech, right? You pour it into a basin. If you pour it onto the ground, then it's mamish nifsat.
Okay.
Then it's not hezek shen and ikar. You still would be potter on that nezek, because even though it's hezek nikar, because kamei rabinei. But the issue is that you're chayef when you stole it. In other words, the deal is if you steal it, and then you can't return it, you have to pay money. So if I'm menasech it, and we treat it as a hezek and ikar, like I poured it into the ground and it got absorbed, at that point, I have to pay for the geneva because I can't return the wine be'en. The chiddush here is that it's a hezek shen and ikar. If I libated that wine to a dessert into a bowl, I could take it from the bowl, pour it right back into the wine bottle, and say, here's your wine. So the chiddush in the Mishnah is that you don't get the seirei shachalofanecha, that we treat this as a hezek and ikar. Nonetheless,
oh, yeah. It's not saying a hezek shen and ikar is chayev?
Well, I mean, what's the difference?
Okay.
For now, I don't know. That's just the difference. So Tosas wants to know, how does this fit in? Why would Shmuel disagree with Rav? Isn't Rav's suggestion obvious? I pick up. When do I violate the Avera? What am I chai misa for doing? For picking up the wine or for pouring it, or both?
For Rav.
For anybody.
For pouring it.
So it would seem that's what you would think. For pouring it. So why was Shmuel not content to have Rav's suggestion? So you could say, the way the Rashba does, and this doesn't interest me as much for our purposes now, you could say the way the Rashba does, is that Shmuel doesn't think it's correct. Firstly, the Rashba says, everybody agrees that for the halachic requirement, there's no obligation to lift the wine up before you pour it. Not necessary. If you tilt it on its side, if you stick your hands in it, you mishashech. Either way, that can be, you swish it around. That's not something we relate to, but that being something they did. So that's menasech et lavo dezara. And therefore, you wouldn't be making a kinyan. And everybody agrees to that principle. Shmuel doesn't want to read like Rav, because the Mishnah just says menasech. it doesn't qualify by saying my bio menasech. That's why Shmuel doesn't want to accept Rav's principle. And Rav didn't want menasech to be the same day as ma'ariv. And so therefore he felt nisach stam might involve hagba, and therefore he picks it up and pours it. Which means then, in principle, Rav and Shmuel do not have no machlokas at all, except for how to read this case in the Mishnah. They both agree what the din would be if you picked up the wine and poured it out. They would both agree what the din would be if you stuck your hands in your mishashech and you didn't pick up the wine. And they would both agree what the din would be is if you mixed the avodah zarah wine into kosher wine. They all agree. They just argue about what is the Mishnah talking about. That's the way the Rashba explains the machlokas. But Tosfos does not do so. Tosfos assumes that there's a fundamental machlokas between Rav and Shmuel that forced, not the language of the Mishnah, not the language of Menasseh, but there's something fundamental difference within Kamei with Rav Yineh that forced Shmuel to say that the Mishnah was not a case of Menasseh, but Rav was perfectly comfortable. Now, if you believe that Hagbah, so I have to explain terminology very carefully here. And if you don't get the terminology, you're going to kill yourself on Tosfos and Ksubos. What is the difference between Efshar, Lahanacha below Akira versus Akira Tzara Hanacha? When those phrases are used, what's the difference between saying Efshar Lahanacha below Akira versus Akira Tzara Hanacha? Adin.
Well, that Akira Tzara Hanacha is Rabbi Avin's statement, and then Efshar Hanacha below Akira is an interpretation of what that means, the parallel alternative interpretation being
That's not when Tosis uses those two terms. You're gonna, if you work with that assumption, you're really gonna get confused, Moshe. Then you're not explaining it well. Yeah, go ahead.
Yipshar la nachab lo akira is like physically it's not possible, and the other one is in order to do an act of akira, you need to have a nachab.
Okay, so that is not the way Tosis uses the terminology here. Okay, yipshar la hanacha below akira means that you cannot violate Hanacha without an Akira. It's a halachic statement. It might also be that if in Metzias there's no other way to do it, you would also say Yefshar Hanacha B'la Akira. Because Lemaisa, in order to violate Hanacha, you have to do an Akira. Whether it's an inherent halachic requirement or just a physical requirement without which it's impossible, that falls into the category of Yefshar La Akira B'la Hanacha. But the idea of Akira, Yefshar Hanacha B'la Akira, the idea of Akira Tzar Hanacha means that because of this principle, Akira Tzara Hanacha, you therefore say come labor the Rabbi Mine, even though they're not exactly simultaneous. In other words, Tosfos is going to come up with a shita that believes Efshar Akira, Efshar Lahanacha below Akira, and nonetheless you don't say Akira Tzara Hanacha. Isn't that strange? If you say that Efshar Lakira below Hanacha, how can you say that Akira is Laftar Hanacha? You just said you can't violate a Hanacha. If Efshar Lakira, what's that?
Why is that so strange?
If I tell you Efshar Lakira below Hanacha, then how can you say Akira Laftar Hanacha? The answer is because Akira
means
Rabbi
Avin says Akira Tzara Hanacha. Okay, and therefore your punch.
I know, but it's not, when you read Tosfos, people have gotten confused about that. That's what I'm telling you. So you may have picked it up instantly. People came to me asking certain questions. Tosfos realized you weren't picking up on that point. Right? Because in the Gemara, Efshar la,
he does use that phrase, and it is confusing.
Right? In the Gemara's Teretz, the first Teretz is formulated as Efshar Lakira below Hanacha. Right? The second Teretz also assumes that way. The original Havamin of the Gemara was they said, and the Kasha was, Akira Tzara Hagba, Akira Tzara Hanacha. Right? So the question is, how can it be that, and in a certain sense, Efshar Lakira below Hanacha we thought was the Pemush of that. But the way, and it is, but the way Tosfos used it, no. The way Tosfos used Efshar Lakira below Hanacha is a statement of halachic fact. Akira Tzara Hanacha means, given the halachic fact of Yeshua Akira B'la Hanacha, you're now part of from Kamalid Rabbinay. And that's what Tosfos means. Even though you hold the Yeshua Akira B'la Hanacha, you might still not agree that Akira Tzara Hanacha. You might say that despite the fact that it's impossible, you still don't say Kamalid Rabbinay. Because it's not simultaneous. Now, It's a novel point, Tosfos says, but who holds that way, by the way? Where do you see that shita? Baba Kama Ayin, Zrok Li Gnei Buseich. Right? That's a case where it's clearly Iefshel Akira Blanacha. Not only that, but Iboi Lomatzi Ladure. And still we say, despite the fact that the Akira is essential to violate the Hanacha, nonetheless, we don't say Kam Levi the Rav Amina. Why? Because when were you Chayav on Shabbos? And the Havamina before the Gemara gives the Teretz, when it landed in the Chatzer. When were you Chayav on Mecher?
Airspace.
When it entered the airspace. Ah, but it's in between the two, and Akira Tzarech Hanacha, and it's Iefshel Akira Blanacha, it doesn't matter, because we don't say Akira Tzarech Hanacha. It doesn't matter that you can't violate Hanacha without Akira. You know when the Malacha of Hotzah begins? At the Hanacha. If the Geneva takes place simultaneous with the Hanacha, you're Pater. If not, you're Chayav. So Tosfos in Gittin, strangely enough, unlike the Rashba says, no, you know what? Rav holds, Rav and Rav Yirmiyah hold that Efshe lahagbah lenisach below hagbah. Doesn't explain at all what he's talking about. Rashba says, what is he talking about? Part of nisach, part of the avodah zara, the avodas that you're doing is hagbah. And if you weren't magbiyat, it wouldn't be technically nisach. I mean, I don't know what's the din in the mikdash. I don't know. You know this. You know where they used to pour the wine into the svalim. These two bowls on the mizbeach, which had holes at the bottom, and they went down through the mizbeach to wherever it went. Either in rationalistic world to somewhere underneath the mizbeach in the supernatural world, all the way down into the tahom. Okay, whatever. However deep the shitin go, as they call it. They're called the shitin. Shinyal, yud, taf, yud, nun. Okay? So, I don't know how tall the bowls were, but if the bowls were less than three tvachim off the surface of the mizbeach, would you say that if the Kohen put the thing with the bottle with the wine in it right on the lid of the seifel and poured and didn't actually lift the bottle up three tvachim, you're not yotzei nisuch? I don't know. I don't know zvachim well enough to know that.
It could just been that they were up to a level that...
So you could say, maybe it's true that the bowls were higher than three tefachim, and therefore it was a requirement. You need hagbah to do nisach, and the way the mikdash was designed, it guaranteed that you would do it. I don't know. Nice try.
It's on top of
the keren. Nice try.
And the bowls on top of the keren.
No, it's not. No? There are two bowls. It's not on top of the keren. It's near a keren, but it's in the... I believe they're inside even the makom amahila hakohanim. I mean, it's inside of that, just inside of that.
Why should we care about the Beit HaMikdash? Should we only care about what people of the Avodah Zarah do?
So it might be that you're only chayev on being over Avodah Zarah if you have to do one of two things. You either have to do avodas pnim. There are four avodas that you do pnim: nisuch, hatara, zvicha, and hashtachava. Or if it's Darka Bekach. But presumably, if most Avodah Zarahs probably do not have an Avodah, if Nisuch, really to be Nisuch, has to be Shosat Tvachim, then probably, to qualify an Avodah Kedarka, an Avodah Shelo Kedarka, because it's one of the Avodahs Pnim, then you understand why you need three Tvachim. And if it's Shelo Kedarka, you know, if that was not typical, then presumably most Avodah Zarahs didn't have a Miucha Lekach that you could do Nisuch even on less than three Tvachim. I mean, I'm at a loss. I don't know why. You know, and it doesn't mean, by the way, if you stick your hand into wine and you mishashech, which is one of the concerns by Yayin Nesech, I don't know if it's befeirish in the Gemara, but the Rishonim say that just touching the wine would actually not aser pana. No way to aser pana. But the reason what goes there on Maga is because of shichshoch. Now, when a guy is mishashech...
No.
What?
You can sell that one if the boy touches your wine.
Isn't it? Maybe for the Ramah and Ashkenaz. For the Gemara, not. Okay, unless he's a monotheist.
Wait, is that, how do you pass? I thought in general, if you said regular yain nesef, you accidentally let a goy touch your wine, it's not asher b'chana. It's asher.
According to Dina the Gemara, it absolutely is. The Ramah, following the practice of Ashkenaz, tries to justify why it's mutter with our goyim. Go learn the sugya. However, the difference between Stam Yainam and Yain Nesach in terms of Isser Anah, there is no difference in the Gemara. It's all the same. Unless he's not an Ovid, unless he's a monotheist, is a Ger Tosham, that might be a different story. Okay? Now, so that's the question. Why would you say Yesh and Nesach Balabah? But let's just accept that premise. that it is impossible to be menaseich for mitzias or halachic reasons, some halachic reasons, without doing a hagbah first. So Shmuel Shita, we understand. Why does Shmuel not say the Mishnah is a case of menaseich? Because whenever you're going to be menaseich and be mechayev anavo deserve the nisuch, you're going to have to be magbia. Since the hagbah is part of the nisuch, you're going to say, come, the rabbi may no matter what. But according to Rav, even though hagbah is tzorech nisuch, even though yefshar l'nisuch below hagbah, Rav doesn't hold of the svara nisuch tzorech hagbah tzorech nisuch. What does it mean he doesn't hold of it? I just said he holds yefshar nisuch below hagbah. It means he holds that's not a reason for patiu come the rabbi minei. Now, if I tell you that, what is the relationship between Rav and Rav Yirmiyah and Rabbi Abin?
About Rav.
Rav, Rav Yirmiyah, the same position. Okay, if Rav and Rabbi Abin believe that despite the fact that Yefshel and Nisach below Agba, you cannot violate Nisach, you can't do it without doing Agba, nonetheless, we don't say Nisach, Hagba Tzorach Nisach, to patu you from Tashlumin because of Kamalid Rav Aminei. So, did they hold of Rabbi Abin or not?
They could hold of Rabbi Abin, they could just say
they could certainly hold of Rabbi Abin, but they have to hold like the second teretz. Well, they either reject the first teretz or they reject both terutzim.
The according to the Shekama, then
what's that?
And then there's the middle one of
Tosafot, which is
where he holds that Nisach Tzorach Hagba and Akira Tzorach Hanach are two different things.
Yeah, he rejects the fundamental assumption.
No, I agree. I understand. But I'm saying, on the assumption, if you hold that EFshel Nisach below Hagbah.
Even in that one. Oh, sorry. On that
one. If you hold EFshel Nisach below Hagbah, then Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah are either rejecting Rabbi Abin according to one teretz, or even though you can't prove from that case, if they reject Rabbi Abin, of course, the board is also fine. Right? It's also possible that they believe that Hagbah, that EFshel Nisach below Hagbah, in which case it's simple. Right, then the problem becomes Shmuel, not Rav. It's easy to explain people. The easiest way to get out of all the problems is to say that EFshel Nisach Bechlo Hagbah. Rav and Rav Yirmiyah hold like the Lishna Basra. Shmuel holds like the Lishna Kama, and everything is nice. So we have one more example of a nice two-shtel, right?
Don't you think the two Lishnas here came after this Mechlokes? They're not attributed to anybody?
Yes. Yes, they could be. They could be the They could be the interpretation of Rav and Shmuel. Once you want to play the chronology game,
right? So the Mishnah Kama at the very least holds that Rabbi Avin and Yirmiyah
are in disagreement,
yeah.
And the Mishnah Basra holds that they could be in agreement. Yeah, I know. I'm going to ignore chronology for the moment. I don't really care how it happened. The svaras do exist, and whether you want to argue that the sugya hypothetically could have been based upon Rav and Shmuel, right? You never know. But right now, just lining them up. The other approach is to say that obviously Shmuel's going to hold like Rabbi Abin, but Rav and Rav Yirmiyah could completely disagree with Rabbi Abin. Now, there's nothing in the sugya and gittin that would compel you to do so. They would. What's that?
The other one is that he could say he can hold like Rabbi Abin, that Akira Tzarech Hanacha, but he could just believe that there is such a thing that Nisach does not Tzarech Hagba. Right, that option is out there, right?
No, that would mean Efshel and Nisach below Hagbah.
Right, he believes Efshel and Nisach below Hagbah. That's often in between.
So that even if in principle you would say, you cannot say, if it's possible to violate Shabbos with Hanacha and without an Akira, you cannot possibly say Akira Zer Hanacha. You can say Efshel la Hanacha below Akira and still say Akira la Zer Hanacha, but you can't flip it.
Fine.
So that's why if Rav and Rav Yirmiyah want to hold that Akira lav tzorach that efshar l'nisuch below hagbah, then it's pasha. We understand the sheet. Of course, it's exactly like gonav chalba
shachavera. I think that's the second answer in Tosos. There's three answers, yeah. Plus or short. There's four answers altogether in Tosos.
Really, oh, fine. Fine.
There's four answers in Tosos.
Correct. Let me just see if we're just talking about numbers here.
First.
Yes. Yes. I'm talking about right now the first two. You're talking about the third.
I think actually I'm in the middle one, but yeah. I think you jumped to 1 and 3, and I'm throwing in the...
Oh, you're right, you're correct. I am jumping. Inami kasar v'dash nasech b'lag b'ar, right. V'lodam el kiyonach hasher, correct. Right, so you could say that, so again, either you say that, again, I started with the premise, if you say, in order to avoid problems in Shmuel, if you say that he efshel nisach b'lo agba, so then Rav and Rav Yirmiyah either argue on one lashon Rabbi Abban, or they completely disagree with Rabbi Abban. If you're willing to say that efshel nisach b'lo agba, of course they're not arguing Rabbi Abban. They're talking about a totally different kind of case. They're talking about a gonev chelbo shel chavero, and Rabbi Abban is talking about a case where it actually, in other words, where it's efshar. In other words, the whole point is efshar la achila below hagba, and it's efshar la nisach below hagba, but it's not efshar la nacha below akira. So they're just talking about a totally different kind of case than Rabbi Abban is. The problem with saying that within Rav is now, and Tosfos will deal with this, is that what do you do for Shmuel? Why would Shmuel say that you potter and come with Rav Amine if you can do hagba, if you can do nisach without hagba? They're two totally separate actions. So we're going to have to explain. We're going to have to, in other words, how is that different from the Gonev Chelbo Shel Chavero case? Where they say that, of course, from the Chunya's Moda, that you're Chayev. Because you was Chayev on the Geneva first, and only then are you Chayev on the eating of the Chelev. Right, so how, what is Shmuel going to do with the Gonev Chelbo Shel Chavero case? Because if Efshel L'Nisach below Hagba, then you're mamish dealing with the Gonev Chelbo Shel Chavero case. So Rav, of course, we understand. It's a Davar Pashut, you're Chayev. You don't say Kalmar Rene, but now what do you do with Shmuel? That's going to be the hard thing to answer that Tosfos deals with the end. I did.
This might be jumping out a little bit, but I guess it's more in relation to the Baba Kanka Fyodzayin. Do we think that our Gemara is the original statement of Rabbi Abban? Because I think we looked at it, it doesn't appear in the Tosefta anywhere.
Rabbi Abban said Amara.
So where was this sugya?
Where is this sugya?
Like where? Because it mentions, it seems.
I think the only other place, I think the passing in Baba Kama is just as a reference in passing. I don't think it's even a full citation.
I think it is, but it seems that especially within Tosos' idea that this case is really there to highlight.
Hold on. That's not the original sugya. The Gemara says Mikarasav Gavan Sosav, and then they have to quote what the dinim are. I don't think the Gemara in presenting it presents as if it's a known fact already. I assume this is the original sugya.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll mention another question when we get the answer.
Okay. So the central point now: why would listen? You understand why if you assume that you cannot do nisach without hagbah. And Rav says, nonetheless, you're chayiv, and you don't say kamalid rabbiyane. You guys all understand why he's clearly against the first interpretation of Rabbi Abban. The first interpretation of Rabbi Abban says that whenever something is necessary to violate the malacha, that point onward is the beginning of the time frame of the malacha for kamalid the rabbiyane purposes. Right? That, I think, is fairly obvious. But just because you say that, why would you assume that Rav disagrees with the second version of Rabbi Abban? And if you want to make shalom, Rav could agree with Rabbi Abban according to the second interpretation. Why does Tosfos not want to say that? In our Tosfos and Ksubas, it's attributed to Rabbi Natan. In Gittin, it's anonymous. Why does Tosfos not want to say that? Moshe? I'm sorry, Benny, was that your hand?
Yeah.
Why?
Rabbi Abban could have said it in the case of Avir Sakim.
He didn't say that case, so we don't really know. That's why you can have two versions of understanding Rabbi Abban. What compelled Rabbeinu Tam to force an idea which is not at all mochach in Gittin, that when Rav Yirmiyah and Rav disagree with one lashon Rabbi Abban, they also disagree with even the second more narrow formulation of Rabbi Abban? What compelled Tosfos to do so?
The Baba Kama.
The Baba Kama, the Ayin case. Because if you say that Rav Yirmiyah and Rav agree with Rabbi Abban with the Ibai Matzi Ladure Lashon, in that fashion, then who is the author of that sugya? Whose shita is that sugya? And Baba Kama Daf Ayin that assumes that Rabbi Abban is wrong, even in a case where it's Ef Shel Ladure, namely when I throw the sheep. Because throwing a sheep is like shooting an arrow. I mean, it's harder, but nonetheless, it's conceptually the equivalent. So if you say that Rav, once you find Rav and Rabbi Abban clearly rejecting one Lashon and Rabbi Abban, Nistama, they reject both Lashonos. And therefore, whose shita is it in Daf Ayin? Whose sugya is that? That's the Rav Yirmiyah speaking. Further buttressing that is the simple reading of the Gemara in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, is the Gemara says that originally, in explaining a certain case, in the Manasseh case, why it was counted, originally he held like Rabbi Abban, and then he held like Rav Yirmiyah. The Gemara seems to assume that Rabbi Abban and Rabbi Yirmiyah are at odds with one another. And the question is, why are they at odds between Rabbi Abban's case of Zerah Chetz and Rabbi Yirmiyah's case of Magbiah and Manasseh? They shouldn't be at odds at all. Just take the second teretz of the Gemara here in Ksubos and you solve the problem. In other words, Rabbi Abin, Sunna Rabbi Abin really holds that Akira Tzar Hanacha in a case only when Iboyin lo Matzi Ladure, and that's the and that is the case and that is and that's the case in Zorech Chet. But in the case of Magbia Menaseh, even though you picked up the wine, what can you do? Just put it back down, and you're not chayef avodah zarah. So since it's Iboyin Matzi Ladure, in that case, Rabbi Abin, according to the second lashon, would say, of course you don't say kol mei d'rabbi minei, because the action doesn't begin until it's out of your hands. That would have been the simple solution, except for it would leave us without a solution for the Bava Kama daf ayin, and it also sounds to be against the simple reading of the Gemara daf kafir zayin. So that's what compels Rabbi Natan to say, even though Rav and Rav Yirmiyah's case happens to be a case where it's I boi matzi ladure, and there they say you don't say kamei rabinei. In a chanami, even if it was impossible, they would say that even if once you pick up a barrel of wine, it is impossible not to be menasechet. Even if it's impossible to stop. How would that be? I'll give you an example. Let's say I want to be menasech the barrel. You know I'm going to be menasech it? I put it on the edge of a cliff. And I put it right on the edge. And I go, timber. When does the hagbah take place, 3 tefachim off the ground? Thank you, Ramban. As soon as I push it off the cliff. Because now it's 3 tefachim, at least 3 tefachim off the bottom, below the cliff. When does the nisuch begin? As soon as I do that. Can I stop it once I push it off? No. What would Rav and Rav Yirmiyah say in that case? So Rabbi Natan says they would hold. You still don't say kol mei b'derabbi minei. Why? Well, wait. Let me. I have to reformulate. The nisuch doesn't begin when it starts pouring. When does the nisuch? Let's pretend that nisuch avodah zarah. The nisuch actually takes place when it winds in front. The avodah zarah is way at the bottom of the cliff. Okay. The nisuch takes place when it is in front of the avodah zarah. But as soon as I push it off the cliff and the wine starts to travel downward, okay, is when the hagbah takes place. It's also the point at which I have no control anymore. I can't put the barrel back down once the wine has gotten out, once I pushed it off the cliff. And therefore, so that case, Iboyi lo matzi ladure. So Rabbi Abin would certainly say, according to both the Shonos, he would say that you are pater because of kol mei rabinei. What would Rav and Rav Yirmiyah say? So Rabbi Natan says they would say that you're still chayiv to pay. Why? Because the nisuch only takes place when it lands in front of the avodah zarah at the bottom. The hagbah takes place as soon as you push it off the cliff. Yeah.
Just the practicality of pushing off the cliff. I'm not sure exactly how you record it, unless you do a cartoon event where you like walk off the cliff, and as you're walking, you don't fall yet until you realize that you're not on the cliff anymore. Why is that a
Kenyan
pushing? So it must be that he was
not
a Kenyan. Must
have a Mashiach.
Yeah. So
he's
a Mashiach off the cliff, like he went off the cliff.
Like we had a similar case, yeah.
Like in the cartoon.
Like the Ramban.
Ramban was a Ramban, you assume that you also have to go with it, so it's Mashiach off the cliff. Pushing off the cliff is not a Kenyan.
No, if you assume that Eged Yav Lav Shmei Eged, like we will in that other Tosis we're not going to get to today, then you don't have to go with it. But yes, if you would like to assume that I have a net, that I'm jumping onto a trampoline below, if you would like, no problem. I just need to illustrate the case. What? No. The point is you have to be, if there's no kinyan that takes place, then the hezek and the avodah zarah are mamish at the same time. So then, of course, it's kamei d'rabbi minei. The whole point of Rav is I want to give you a case where the kinyan takes place before the aveir of nisuch, but when you can no longer control it. That's why this needs to be a kinyan when you step off the cliff. I like your suggestion. It's like Wile E. Coyote.
Yeah, exactly.
You notice, by the way, Wile E. Coyote never falls until he realizes that there's nothing underneath him.
That's one of the rules.
That's godless. Yes. Okay. So anyway, so we both are machave into that. I think that's an old idea, right? So the bottom line is, in that case, what would Rav and Yirmiyah hold? So Rabbeinu Tam says they would hold you still chayev, even though it's no longer in your control. It's no longer in your control. Now, that the first teretz in Tosfos Teretz number one in Gittin doesn't say that way. They say he would be modeh to Rabbi. They would hold like the Lishabas. So Teretz number three in Gittin is this Rabbeinu Tam. Teretz number two, what Shua was saying before, is that Rav holds that Efshel and Issach below Agba. So of course you chayev, there's no kamei Rabbeinu. It's like Achilas Chelev. Now, once I presented that, it's much easier to read Tosus and Gittin. Tosus and Ksubas, our Tosus. Yes, exactly.
Well, I want to say that if it's just if like the third thing that you said, then what's Rabbi? Why did Rabbi Yirmiyah make a comment? We have Chizik and later, but why were there both of these? There's no difference in the case then.
Between who, Rav and
Rabbi Yirmiyah and Chizik at that point? The Chiddush, there's no Chiddush then.
Who's Rabbi Chizik?
I'm going to Chamush Chalera. There's two times.
Oh, yeah. The whole point of Rav Yirmiyah is because Rav said Menasech Mamish, but the Gemara is the Kasha, it's Kamei Rav Meneh. So Rav Yirmiyah is telling you that no, they're not saying the Kinyan is before.
Rav Chista
was talking about a different case. Rav Chista explained. It would have been Kid, but they didn't have to. Rav Yirmiyah was the one who explained it.
I thought it was Kid and Rav Yirmiyah.
Rav Yirmiyah commented on this Mishnah. Rav Yirmiyah must have been talking about the Mishnah. He had Rav Shita. So the Gemara says, how do you explain Rav just like Rav Yirmiyah? Kid and Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah. You mean they could have quoted Rav Chista just as well? You could have said, what?
In our Tosus, it has Kid and Rav Yirmiyah.
Which Tosus?
Yeah, the Gemara has that too.
Yeah, the Gemara is
in Gittin.
No, but then look at the rest of the line. Jama Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishalek Bar Hudakanam Hudakanam Mitchai Benav Sholam.
So he said it independently of Rav Chista. Chista was in Babel. He was in Eretz Yisrael.
Did he say independently of Rav?
We don't know. In other words, Rav Yirmiyah. The Gemara says it sounds like Rav Yirmiyah. I suspect it could be Rav Yirmiyah adopted the same position as Rav, and he explained it with Mishas Agbah Udekanya. But I don't know. Sometime, where is that Gimel too?
Gemara explaining Rav by saying Rav is the.
Hold on, I wanted to see what the Gemara Bava Kama, how they present it. How do they present it? Nope, there's no context to Rav Yirmiyah. In other words, normally when we say kiddah, normally the Gemara knows where it was originally stated. Right? And it'll tell you later, often later in the sugya, the Gemara will use an answer. Kiddah, mitaritz, whatever. Later in the sugya, you'll see where he actually was mitaritz. It must have been a comment about this Mishnah. I don't know the context, because all I have is this exact same quotation of both Gemaras. So he was explaining how the Mishnah could be Menaseh Hamish. You could look in the Talmud, there might be a parallel there, maybe that would explain it. Rav Yirmiyah did make Aliyah. So he really was... He started in Babel, and then he made Aliyah, and he hated Babylonians. He scorned them. He said that... Rav Yirmiyah was the one who said... He was the one, his famous... Hani Bavli Tushai Da'achli Nama Benama. They eat a bread sandwich, right? Because they take wheat meal, and they put it in bread. So that's Achli Nama Benama. And Rav Yirmiyah, however, was the one also said that Chad Minayhu... I'm sorry, Achad Minan is Kitrei Minayu, that one Ben Eretz Yisrael is the equivalent of two B'nai Bavel, but when one of the B'nai Bavel comes to Eretz Yisrael, he's like two B'nai Eretz Yisrael. Very convenient description for someone who made Aliyah, right? And Babylonians are inherently superior. When they get to Eretz Yisrael, the superior shines through. But while they're in Bavel, they're, you know, Oisfars, okay, compared to B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So... Rav Yirmiyah was a big Zionist. Fine. Anyway, so I don't know the original context. You could look in the Yifei Naim and see if there's a parallel in the Yerushalmi. I don't remember. Well, actually, I didn't look at the Sugya Gittin. I've been through the Sugya Yerushalmi here, but I didn't look at the Sugya Gittin. Okay. So anyway, so Tosos here, we're up to the following. Well, the Feirush Rabbeinu Tam, Osi Shapir. Rabbeinu Tam's Perush, which I'll tell you in advance before we read it, I told you already. Rabbeinu Tam believes that Rav and Rav Yirmiyah completely disagree with Rabbi Abin. They don't care about Efshar E, Efshar Hagbat, Kiratzah Hanacha or not. All they care about is simultaneity. When do you become actually Chayiv in the Avera, and when did the Chiyuv Mamon take place? They must be really simultaneous. Meaning, when you have an Akira and Hanacha, according to Rav and Rav Yirmiyah, when must the Chiyuv Mamon take place? At the time of the Hanacha. Which is why the Gemara in Baba Kama Ayin says the guy, it's zrokli l'to chatzeri, but my chatzer shouldn't be kona until it hits the ground. That's why you need that teretz. So now Tosa says, so ulefeirush Rabbeinu Tam asi shapri the peirush the ef shalanisach below agba, that Rav or Yirmiyah believe, even though Rav doesn't pati for kamalei Rabune, he believes it's ef shalakir lenisach below agba. You cannot violate nisach without doing haba. I mean, you have to make a kinyan as part of the avera of doing nisach, and nonetheless. Nonetheless, you're still chayiv. You don't say kamli rabbinay. Kid Rav Yirmiyah, the mishas agba kona mischayiv benafsha lahavet shas nisuch. The hashda Rav Yirmiyah leslei the agba tzarech nisuchu. Now, what is it? Here's where you can get thrown off. Rav Yirmiyah and Rav agree. E esher le nisuch below agba, but they believe that agba. Lav tzarech nisuchu. What does it mean? But you just said that you can't do nisuch without hagba. It means that the fact that you can't do nisuch without hagba doesn't mean that that passes you all the way back to the time of the hagba. You don't employ teretz number one of Rabbi Ab, Gemargis Rabbi Abin. Again, b'hashter of Yirmiyah lesle davar tzarech nisuchu. But that wouldn't solve. That doesn't solve our problem. What are we trying to solve? Who is the author of the Gemara Baba Kama Ayin? Who completely disagrees with Rabbi Abin? Right now, all we demonstrate is that Rav Rav Yirmiyah disagree with the first teretz. Now Tosa says, "But who hadin the lesle akira tzarech hanacha?" He has no such concept in our sugya. Yeah, I'm sorry. Who hadin lesle akira tzarech hanacha? Same thing here. Even though you can't do an akira hanacha without an akira, doesn't matter. It doesn't bother you. Ah, but maybe he holds of the second teretz. The lo have maflig be matzi ladure lo matzi ladure, and he doesn't make the distinction that the second teretz makes. Doesn't matter, even if it's iesh ladure, doesn't matter. You don't say akira tzorach hanacha. Right. In other words, it does. Shu, I understand what you're saying. That the way Tosis presents it, that the root of both is akira tzorach hanacha, but there's a tenai of in the second lashon that e boy lo matzi ladure. But I still don't think that that. I still think you can fit your approach in. And that, but that's very nice. Poof. Abracadabra, ways to match one, very nice. How do you know that? Why are you being marbe machlokes in that sugi when there's no evidence that they hold that way? I pick up the object, the wine, I can put it back down. Even if I don't violate Yai Nesach without a hagba, I can stop in the middle. Why should you assume that sugi, Rav and Yirmiyah, are arguing on the second teretz here? Satosa says, Teda, notes, the Lishna, the Efshal Anacha below Akira, if you believe, like the first approach, that since you can't have an Akira without a Hanacha, even though you could stop in the middle, you're still Pater. And that's what Rabbi Abin, that's explaining Rabbi Abin. Amai Nakat Rabbi Abin Zarachetz. Why did Rabbi Abin state the lesser Chiddush? Lindkot Mavir. He should have told you, Mavir Sakin Bishr Sarabim. That would have been the bigger Kiddush. If Mavir Sakin is Pater on Kamei Rabbi Mine, certainly Zarachetz is Pater. The fact that the first Lashon was willing to state that in Rabbi Abin shows you, Elavadai ki hadad ininu. You don't actually make any distinction. Right? In other words, they reject the Lishna Basra's whole premise. It's the funny part. Uman de Polaga Mavir, if you argue on Mavir Sakin Dalaramos, Polagnami Azorek. And therefore, once you have Rav Yirmiyah Rav Shita, who totally disagree with Rabbi Abin, Valiva the Rabbi Yirmiyah Parach Bimaruba. But in fact, they would argue that Sogi Meruba is Rabbi Yirmiyah or Rav. Avon, if Rav and Rabbi Yirmiyah had held Im Efshar LeNisuch below Hagba, if they had believed that you could have Nisuch below Hagba, it were possible, then for sure. Lo polag Rav Yirmiyah ad Rabbi Abin. He wouldn't be in machlokas. There's no reason we would assume he'd be arguing Rabbi Abin, right? Why? Because if he held nisuch below there is nisuch below hagba, even Rabbi Abin would hold that no kamali rabbinay. Why? Because it's the exact equivalent of goneiv chelbo shel chavera. Why? Because the hagba is lav tzarech achila. You don't need hagba in order to do chelav. It's not part of it at all. So even Rabbi Abin agrees. The whole point is we had to distinguish Rabbi Abin from Moda Rabbi Nechunya Begonu Shachavero that you're chayef. because Hagbah is not Tzorach Achila at all. Because Efshar L'Achila below Hagbah, the way I would say it. So that's what he means. Aval L'Mefshar L'Nisach below Hagbah below Parag V'Yirmi Ad Rabbi Abin. Because Rabbi Abin wouldn't say in that case that you're Potter on Kamali Brahmani grounds. Rabbi Abin holds you Chayav by the Chaylev. Chayav to pay for the Chaylev and Chayav Akaris. According to Rabbi Nechonya. But the Tosfos says, "Vagozo basra mashmak tzas." The Rav Yirmiya polega the Rabbi Abin. Gabe chasu lomar afa menasech. The Amar Hasa meikar saver kad Rabbi Abin. Well, the Besov saver kad Rabbi Yirmiya. So the Gemara in Bava Kama says the following. The Gemara there says, according to a brisa, Tani Abu Ad Rabbi Abin, Bar Rishona Ha Yomer Hametamei Vahametamea Chazru Lomer Afa Menasech. Originally, when they taught the Mishnah, they only had two cases, Metame and Medamea. Why didn't they have Menasech? Chazru Lomer Menasech. Why did they add it to the list? So the Gemara says, Meikar Savri Rabbi Abin, and Lasof Savri Rabbi Yirmiya. So it really sounds like it's a Machlokas Rabbi Abin Rabbi Yirmiya. It sounds like Akira. It sounds like Efshel L'Nisuch below Hagbah, and because of that, Rabbi Abin says, "Kam Levi the Rabbi Mine," and that's what they originally held. That's why they only had two things in the Mishnah that you're chayiv on. This has a Shein Nikar, Metame and Medamea. And the Lubasov decided that Rabbi Yirmiya was correct, and that even if Efshel L'Nisuch below Hagbah, it doesn't matter. You're still chayiv. You don't say kamei rabbeinu, because in order to say kamei rabbeinu, it must be mamash simultaneous. And that's why they added menasech to the Mishnah. Because when you're menasech, you magbi at first. Yashal nisach b'lo hagbah. You're kona right then, but you don't violate the actual avodah zarah until you menasech it. So it sounds like from this Gemara what? Pretty clear, it seems. Pretty clear that Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yirmiya are incompatible. They argue one another. Originally, when they didn't count Menasech in the Mishnah, they were holding like Rabbi Abin, and then they decided Rabbi Abin was wrong, Rabbi Yirmiya was correct, and they held like Rabbi Yirmiya. So that would further buttress Rabbi Natan's contention that Rabbi Abin and Rabbi Yirmiya are really at odds. That's a very good raya, by the way. It's a very good raya, because as opposed to Tosus's Kasha from Bava Kama Daf Ayin, okay, so we got an oddball sugya. Maybe that sugya has a different take, a totally different take on things. Maybe that sugya never heard of Rabbi Abin. I don't know. But here you have a Gemara, a sugya that's beferish, tying Rabbi Abin to Rabbi Yirmiya. Right? That's where Tosfos and Gittin, in other words, Tosfos and Gittin, I was wrong, didn't make the tie on his own. The Gemara at the end of Bava Kama makes the connection between the sugya and Gittin and our sugya here of Rabbi Abin. And the Gemara almost explicitly states that Rabbi Abin and Rabbi Yirmiya are at odds. They argue one another. In which case, don't get into the Tulashonos. Rabbi Yirmiya thinks that Rabbi Abin is wrong. Zorei Chetz Dalet Amos B'Shus Harab, or Zorei Chetz, you know, whether it's B'Shus Harab, B'Shus El Chetz Harab, V'Kara Shiroin, Rabbi Yirmiya says, you were chayiv to pay and you're chayiv Misa. Why? Because the Kriya Shiroin took place, the Chiyuv of Mammon took place when you tore through this arrow, tore through the silk, but you weren't chayiv for Chilul Shabbos until the arrow landed. Period. I don't care if the only way. Now, I don't care if the Akira is essential for Hanacha. I don't care if once you shot the arrow, you can't take it back. Makes no difference. Rabbi Yirmiya would hold that in order to say Kamalim Rabbinay, the Chi of Mammon and the Chi of Misa, the actual Chi of, must be simultaneous. None of this fancy football. Right. No compressing of time. So Tosa says, here he says, Ksas Mashma. Why is it not Beferish? It's close to Beferish. It's possible to say that originally they thought it was more similar to Rabbi Abin, which means what? That Efshar L'Akira below Hanacha below Akira. Originally they thought Efshar L'Nisuch below Hagbah. Well, the Besof, they held like Rabbi Yirmiya, who held, no, Efshar L'Nisuch below Hagbah. There's another way of saying this. I don't really care. But the bottom line is, it could be that the Gemara, in other words, all Tosfos is saying is that there are different cases in the sugya. And there are cases, and Rabbi Yirmiya and Rabbi Abin agree that in some cases you do say kamlei, some cases you don't say. And what they weren't sure about in the Menasech is which is it more similar to. So originally they thought it was more similar to the case, conceptually, what Rabbi Abin was talking about. And later they realized it was more similar to the case that Rabbi Yirmiya was talking about. Again, Rabbi Yirmiyah, I thought, was talking about the mission in Gittin. That's the strain. That goes back to your question. That is a very, now that I think about it, it is very odd.
Well,
this reading of Tosis is very odd. If you read the Gemara Kipshuta, then you don't have the question.
As concerns Tosos formulation, is there, like, wouldn't it be, like, more expected for Tosos to have said, Damiel Lahadra Rabbi Yavin, unless I've suffered the Damiel Lahadra Rabbi Yehuda?
No, it's the same thing. You don't need that language. What's bizarre? No, there is something bizarre in Tosfos. I'll tell you why it's almost impossible. Because which case is the Gemara in Baba Kama talking about? The case that Rabbi Yirmiyah is talking about. So what does it mean to say Meikar Sever Rabbi Abin L'Sof Sever Rabbi Yirmiyah? They originally thought the case was more like the case of Menasech was more like Rabbi Abin's case of Zorei Chetz. But later they thought it was more like Rabbi Yirmiyah's case of Menasech. See, if you say the way the simple read of the Gemara, then it's Pashut. Originally, they thought we passed like Rabbi Abin. Later, they thought that no, we passed like Rabbi Yirmiyah. And Rabbi Abin and Rabbi Yirmiyah argue.
They just rejected Rabbi Yirmiyah's Svara. I mean, they would have thought they just thought Rabbi Abin was correct and Rabbi Yirmiyah was wrong in this case.
Now, firstly, it won't solve problems because again, you have the machlokas that Tosis is trying to say maybe is not machlok. But number two, Libesof they counted Menasech. If you held like Rabbi Abin, you wouldn't count Menasech in the Mishnah. Chazru lomar afa Menasech. Rabbi Yirmiyah is the one who explained why you don't say Kamei Ibrahim, why you're Chai by Menasech. Rabbi Abin didn't talk about it, but if you were to naturally apply Rabbi Abin's principle to Menasech, he would have said Pater. It's like Zorei Chetz.
In the beginning, they didn't talk about it. In the end, they talked about it because they thought it was that
Rabbi Abin. They thought it was a case more similar to Rabbi Abin. Okay? And you say Kamei Levi the Rabbi Minei in such a case. In the end, they thought it was more similar to the case of Rabbi Yirmiyah. I understand that. There's only one problem.
Why are you saying the case though? Why can't you
say
the
Svara? Then Rabbi Yirmiyah came along
this,
and said, no, it's not like the case of Rabbi Abin.
Oh, you mean Tos wants to say, originally Tos on, then Kerem Yirmiyah is Mechadish, that it's not like Rabbi Abin's case. All right, but that's not the way Tos doesn't say it that way. Fine. Okay, yeah, so that's how you can. It's Dachuk, but okay.
That's why I think Dan was trying to point out Lahad and Rabbi Abin, Lahad and Rabbi Yirmiyah. That Lahad would specify the case as opposed to live Rabbi Abin.
To the Svara of.
Yeah.
Which
no,
didn't exist yet.
It's the Svara of Rabbi Abin.
Correct.
It's the case of Rabbi Abin and the Svara of Rabbi Yirmiyah.
Well, that seems way more
Duffet
than what I'm saying.
Well, anyway, there's a reason why Tosis and Gittin just assumes the Gemara really sounds like they're arguing.
Actually,
that's
this is a much weaker. That's that, I was about to ask you that. It's almost the opposite. The Gemara, the Tosis there, has three answers.
Right.
One of the answers they argue. This Tosis really
it's true. Moves in that direction. It is
that
true.
That seems to be that there's a world in which
he doesn't give this teretz. That's true.
And then you really have to understand what is happening.
Right. So I don't understand. I don't understand how you can avoid the Gemara in Kuf Yud Zayin. I don't understand that. I don't understand
well,
the teretz in it.
That this Tosfos, this.
I mean, this is how you do it. But
the
it's
here. But the real question is, we still have no answer. How do you understand the Gemara in Baba Kama on Ayin Amid Beis?
Unless you say, right, if you adopt the Dechia, then you're left with the question still.
Correct.
That's all the more reason not to do so.
And both of those Gemaras are in the Tosos and Gittin. It's not like the other.
Correct. Again, the simple answer is what Rabbeinu Tam says on a certain level. Because of Kuf Yud Zayin. Because it says it in Kuf Yud Zayin, and until you stand on your head and read the Gemara upside down, so that once you have the Gemara Kuf Yud Zayin, then the Gemara in Ayin makes perfect sense, of course, that there is a Shita like that. There is a Shita like that. Okay. This is a wonderful Tosfos. There is another piece to it, which is the last Teretz in Gittin. So I'm going to try to work that out. And we'll do that on Monday. And then... Tosfos in Gittin. The end of that Tosfos. The last way when he explains that, no, maybe Hagba, everybody agrees, Hagba, Lav, Efshel and Nisach below Hagba. So then you got to explain what is Shmuel. Why does Shmuel say "Kamei D'Rabbanei"? So Tosis gives it teretz. It's an interesting teretz. Okay, just in preparation, just to give you an idea where we're going for next week. So this is the plan for Sunday. I believe, I can stop this.